In our study of a closer walk with God, of course, this is designed to help us do just that, to get closer to our Lord, both as a congregation and as individual Christians. And one of the things that we're discussing now, of course, is our method of worship and the things that we do to offer our worship to God and the items that we participate in. And let me just throw this question out. When we offer our worship to God as we are doing here today, is this something that is mainly for the congregation as a whole, or is this something that helps us individually? Which one is the answer? Both, all of the above, isn't it? Yeah. You know, a lot of people think that, well, I've had people tell me I can worship God without going to church. Well, you know, I can praise God without going to church. I can pray to God without going to church. I can even sing my church songs without being here. I can do all the things, really, I guess, to remember God and to remember His Son as an individual. But at the same time, this isn't what God has asked for. He has asked for us to come together collectively to offer praise and worship to Him. And He's asked for specific things, and that's what we're talking about now. This one in particular in the singing part of our worship. So these are things that we do collectively, and in doing so collectively, we gain from it individually, don't we? I would like to think that every one of us, as we come together collectively to worship God, that we do indeed get something out of the worship that we offer to God. Now, that is not saying that worship is for us. You know, in the religious world in general, sometimes their worship services in the denominational world, for example, turns more into a show than it does a worship, because you go, you sit, you watch, you observe, and then you go home. And a lot of times you never participate in anything because you're watching what's going up on the stage. And unfortunately, that's not worship. Worship is something that we participate in. It is not something that we sit back and watch. You know, even when you watch the preacher and listen to the preacher when he's in the pulpit speaking, he's not getting up there to put on a show for you. This is for your benefit. This is for his benefit. Everyone in the room, we learn by getting a better understanding of what God's Word is for us, and that's one of the ways that we do that. When we sing collectively, there are lessons that are learned from our songs. And we teach ourselves, and we teach those sitting next to us as we even sing in our song service. Every part of the service that we participate in, we are actually bringing ourselves and those next to us closer to God through these efforts. So it's not just, it's not for us. It is for God, but yet we do at the same time reap many, many benefits from our worship to God. And God knew that. And that's why He set the worship system up the way that He did. So everyone can benefit from our worship. The one we're talking about today, singing, is something that a lot of people do very well, and it is something that some people simply can't do at all, at least not in a physical sense. Is there anyone here who cannot sing to God? First of all, everyone can. Now, can everyone in here carry a tune and sing very well? Okay. But at the same time, they can still sing to God. Now, how can you do that? If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, you can't sing well physically, how can you sing to God and be pleasing to God? Okay. In other words, God doesn't necessarily listen to what comes through your lips, does He? Okay. It's not very joyful. God doesn't always listen to what comes through the mouth. He listens to what comes from the heart. There is a gentleman that he's passed away now. His name was Ralph Casey. He was a Georgia boy from Norcross. Some of you may remember him, remember the name. Probably have a couple songs in the book that was written by him. He went around from congregation to congregation teaching congregational singing. And he would say that congregational singing is an expressional vehicle that we use to praise God. It is a vehicle. And when I think of a vehicle, I think of a car, don't you? Or an airplane, or a train, a vehicle. But he said the voice is a vehicle, a vessel, if you will, that will offer praise to God. So it's what we use to offer our praise to God. He said it is something that comes from the heart, even though the mouth may not respond well. And he's so right. And many people who cannot sing can still praise God in song. I may have told y'all about one of the elders at the church I grew up at. Honest to goodness, no one sings worse than he does. Well, he doesn't sing, he just makes a sound. And it's more like a, that type of thing. Like caveman language, that's about what it sounds like. But he will be the loudest in the room, and he will be the most enthusiastic in the room. Because he's praising God. And believe me, his voice is heard by God. Because even though his mouth is not doing it right, his heart, it is. You know, and one of the psalm books that is in the Brotherhood now, and it was our first choice of psalm books when we bought new psalm books here, but they were too large to fit in our pew. They simply would not go in the pew. As a scripture for every psalm that is in the book, and also it has a dictionary in the back of the book to define words such as Ebenezer and other words that we do not use in our everyday language. And they give you definitions for that. And I would love to have gotten this book instead of the one we got, but it was just simply too large and wouldn't fit in the pew. But some books do tell you these things and help you. And you will find occasionally in our book references made to scriptures. Some of the songs come from directly from scriptures. Or the thoughts of songs come from particular scriptures, particularly in the Psalms. There's a lot of our songs in the book that are written from the Psalms, and beautiful, beautiful songs as well. You know, singing is something that we can do for God, and it is something that we can do for each other. In Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2, David said, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. So he is trying to get across to us just how important it is that we praise God. Now, when we think about praising God, maybe different things come to our mind. You know, when we watch some of the televangelists on TV and some of the shows on Sunday mornings in particular, or Sunday night, we'll see different activities taking place. We'll see people up on stage running around, doing their hands like this back and forth, and really creating a scene. That's one of those shows that I was telling you about. That's something for everybody in the audience to sit back and watch. That's not worship. That's charismatic activity. David is saying, you need to praise God in your heart. He's talking heart here. He's not talking lips. I don't know what kind of singer David was. Probably he was a good singer. We know he was a musician. But yet and still, he's talking about the heart here. I am going to praise the Lord, O my soul. He knew how important it was to establish who God is and to establish our need to praise Him because of all the things that He does for us. Right. He was very effective. Okay. We read in James chapter 5, James is giving us explanations as to why we sing. And he says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Do you ever find yourself just singing for no reason? You just... all of a sudden, you start out singing, and you don't know why. You're just doing it, and then you realize, hey, I'm singing. You ever do that? Nell has to. She's got that look on her face. We do that, don't we? Oh, you got a copy of that, Tom? We'd like to hear it. Yeah, we do stuff like that, don't we? You know, it was kind of funny. The other night at work night, I asked the group at work night to help me make a recording for a song that a gentleman in Tifton was wanting a copy of. And so I pulled out my recorder and I set it down right by Merlene. And I want you to know that girl didn't open her mouth the whole time. If anything came out, yeah. So if any of you are ever in Atlanta in heavy traffic, take Merlene with you and she'll sing for you. Well, you're better than I am because I've driven in Atlanta before in that heavy traffic, and I'm used to talking to the people around me that's doing crazy things, but I'm not singing. Okay, well, that's great. You know, it's something, again, it's something that we do that we're commanded to do for starters, so therefore we do it. And it's something that we should really enjoy, because I don't know anybody who can sing that don't enjoy it. And a lot of people who can't sing still enjoy trying, you know. It is an activity that can create happiness in our lives. And if you don't believe that, watch the children when they sing. You know, children get really excited when they sing. And stick your head into one of our classes and listen to them sing, or come to one of our VBS sessions and listen to them sing, because they get really enthusiastic about it, and rightly so, because it's an enthusiastic thing to do. And it will, believe it or not, bring us closer to God, and that's one of the main things. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is the purpose of our singing is to bring us closer to God. And the first point in our book, of course, is talking about the purpose of singing. And it is indeed to praise the Lord. It is a way that we express to Him our love and our devotion. Now, there are other ways that we do this, but singing is one of them. We've been talking about prayer for the last several weeks. And with our prayers, of course... we praise God with our prayers because we offer to Him our petitions. We offer to Him our words of thanksgiving for the wonderful things that He does for us. But the purpose of singing is to praise God. Matter of fact, the word itself, the word hymn, which is what we sing in our church services, comes from the Greek word humos, which simply means a song in praise. So, when we come here, we offer to God our song in praise. Turn over to Psalm chapter 28, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 28, verse 6 and 7. Now, this is David responding in Psalm to the blessings that God has given to him. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. What is a supplication? A request, a plea, a particular need perhaps. Because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Excuse me. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Now, David is actually bringing out several things here. He's blessing the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Number one, you have listened to me. You ever get the idea sometimes that people don't listen to you? And how frustrating that can be? You know, if you can think back to when you had children in the house, you know, they very seldom listened to you, didn't they? Or at least you thought they didn't. Sometimes they listen and just don't want you to know they're listening. But it can be very frustrating to think that you are telling someone something, you're giving them knowledge and understanding, and they're not listening to you. We all get that feeling. David is saying, Lord, I bless you because you have listened to me. Now, who am I that the Lord should listen to me? You know, and a lot of people have this exact attitude when it comes to their prayer life or anything. Who am I that God would even pay me attention at all? Well, you know, David also tells us what man is. What is man that God should pay attention to him? Well, he answered that question. He's made a little lower than the angels. God is crowned him with glory and honor. God has made man a wonderful being. A being that he loves. A being that he wants to help. He wants to listen to. And David is saying, thank you, Lord, for listening to me. Then he goes on and says something else. The Lord is my strength, and the Lord is my shield. In other words, the Lord will help to build me up. He will make me stronger. He will make me wiser. He will make me understand the Word. And then on top of that, he gives me the shield, which is protection. He gives me security. So, blessed be the Lord. He listens to me. He gives me strength. And he is my shield. And then David says something else. He says, my heart trusted in him. Now, think over your life of the different people that you have put your trust in. Has it always panned out? Have you ever put your trust in something that failed? Have you ever put your trust in someone who has failed? Sure we have. And we may have even placed trust in someone that we love. Someone whom we have the utmost respect for, and knowing that they will do everything possible to come through for me, but yet they fail. Now, we know why failure takes place in these people is because they're human, just like you and I. Because we have all failed someone at one time or the other. David is saying, hey, I have put my trust in God. Now, what happens when you put your trust in God? He does not fail. Failure is not a word in God's vocabulary. So David says, I bless my Lord He listens to me. He gives me strength. He is my shield. And I can put my trust in Him. Now, this next thing He said is wonderful. I am helped. What did He just say? God has done something for me, perhaps that no one else could ever do. He helped me. And again, think about everybody that you've had to go to in the past for help, or who has attempted to help you in something. Has it always panned out? No. Because again, we're human. We fail. Sometimes we don't reach the mark. Sometimes we don't make it to the end. David is saying, God has done all of these things because He listens to me, because He's my strength, because He's my shield, and because I put my trust in Him, I am helped. God has made me better because of all of these things. That's why He said, my heart greatly rejoices. Yes, sir. I think that happens to everybody as well. And you may think of it as a trivial thing. And you may think of this is something that I should be able to do. This is something I should be able to figure out. But then for some reason you can't. And I think everybody goes through that. And those are times that you can come to God and ask for assistance. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons that we have so many today who are weak in the faith. It's because they won't go to God and ask Him for help to solve a problem. Because what happens to small problems if they stay problems? They get bigger. They become unattendable. So, probably the most intelligent thing that we could do is if we find ourselves in a situation like this, ask God for help before it gets out of hand. And the solution can be much simpler. Good point. Thank you. Okay. Sometimes we have to do that, don't we? Right. Okay. Now, according to the Hebrew writer, singing is a spiritual sacrifice. Now, I don't know if I've ever thought about singing as a sacrifice, but let's read that. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Has any of you ever thought of singing as a sacrifice? I really haven't. I have to be honest with you. And I think maybe because of it is because it's something that I really enjoy doing. And I don't look at things that I enjoy as a sacrifice. But yeah, and I'm doing it on purpose. You're going to mess me up. Yeah. When we think of sacrifice, we think about giving up something that is precious to us, don't we? Well, and when you think about sacrifice, under the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, you give away the very first of what you have to God, the very best of what you have to God. Excuse me. Right. But then we think about sacrifice as well. Is it something that I wouldn't normally give up, but because something is important to me, I will give it up? That's another definition of sacrifice. I think the Hebrew writer is looking at this word sacrifice as opportunity. Sacrifice can be opportunity. This is an opportunity for us, praise God. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of people look at that word in the wrong way too. When it comes to their giving, they look at it as a sacrifice that they really don't want to do. That's not what the Hebrew writer is talking about here. It is a way for us to, as he put it, use the fruit of our lips to give thanks to God. And that is an opportunity. It's not something that we should dread. It's not something that we should give up, that we would really like to keep, but because we have to sacrifice it, we do so. That's not what he's talking about here. And really, when you think about what sacrifice should be, it should be an offering of love. Okay. Are you making that because of maybe the frame of your mind at the time? Or... There's a song, I don't know if it's in our book or not. It's called All of Self and None of Thee. Is it in this book? That's what you're thinking about? And that song is all about sacrifice. And the first verse starts out that it's all about me. You know, nothing for God, all for me, you know. Verse number two has a little change of heart. You know, some for you, some for me. And verse three, you're beginning to see the difference that God makes in your life, and so you're more for God and you're less of thee, or less of me. And then on the last verse, you know, you have just went over the hill. You have made it to the other side, and it's all for God and none for yourself. And that song could really be hard for some people, I guess, to sing, that don't have that 100% whole sacrificial thought for God. And that's one thing that we have to have as true Christians, is 100% sacrificial thought for God. Because, you know, when you stop and think about it, He gave 100% sacrificial thought for us. And we have to return that back to Him. And like you said, Cherie, sometimes that's hard to put into your mind. And that's hard, especially when you're thanking God for something. You're thanking God for life. You're thanking God for blessings right after something has gone wrong. That's really hard to do it then, when something has gone wrong with life.
Okay.
Listen to the sermon this morning. You're going to hear that again. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to be enthusiastic with your singing, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to be enthusiastic with your worship. Especially, like I say, when things have not gone well and you may be frustrated, you may be confused, as Claude was talking about earlier. And sometimes it's hard to put your mind in the right thought, you know, for worship. And, hey, I've done it. We've all done it. I have presented many sermons from this pulpit when I really didn't feel it, you know, and it, And I walked down from the stage thinking, well, I could have done so much better, but I didn't have my mind on it. It wasn't right this morning. And I think everybody goes through that. It's part of humanity, you know. And every one of us has to experience that. What else? Good thoughts. Okay. If we're not careful, we might offer our praise in an incorrect way. Now, let me give you the example that the book here has. Turn in the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Now jump down to verse 12. But you profane it in the way in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what is weariness, as you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? Now, this may not make a lot of sense, this reading, but what it's actually saying is, you can offer to God, but you're not going to give Him your best, your first fruits. Would you expect God to accept something secondhand? Would you give him something blind, something sick?
This is talking about corrupt offerings.
Yes, it's talking about corrupt offerings. You know, and the New Testament example is talking about Ananias and Sapphira. You know, I have promised to give God this, and instead I gave him that. And it was unacceptable to God. That's what basically this reading is talking about. And if we're not careful, when we offer God anything, whether it's our worship, whether it's our service, whether it's our of our means or whatever it is, if we do it with a corrupt frame of mind, like this is talking about here, and we give God less than what God is expecting, God is not going to accept that. So, and we need to keep that in mind as we offer God our worship. And, you know, of course, our songs is part of that. It has to be from that frame of mind, the correct frame of mind. And again, being human, sometimes that's difficult, and sometimes we have to work harder at that than we do at other times. So that's just something that the author wanted you to understand, is that we can offer God defiled service because our minds, our hearts may not be in the right place. Yes, ma'am. Verse 8. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? And would you accept you favorably, says the Lord? In other words, basically what this is saying is when you offer God something less than the best, you think he should accept it? Would you offer... In the Old Testament sacrifices, if you were to put a ram on the altar.
Well, I understand your thought, but I'm trying to understand, if we're not a perfect human being, are we less to God?
Well, none of us are perfect human beings.
I'm talking about blind or sick or lame.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is just they're trying to get us to understand that you don't offer God something less than the best. Read verse
14.
So it's basically you have these to offer, and that's what you offer instead of offering your best. That's what I take from this. We should always offer God our best. And he is, and the latter part of verse 8 that says, you know, is this something you would give to your leaders, to your worldly leaders, and expect them to be happy with something that is substandard? You know, I think that's what this is actually saying. What else? Well, we have 3 minutes. We have 2 minutes. We actually got a page and a half, y'all. We're getting good. Y'all got half a page? That's right. I have more on my pages than y'all do. All right. Next week, we're going to start talking about the teaching and admonishing one another. Is that something that we can do with our songs? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I remember as a child in grade school, I had a teacher. I don't know if this, I can't remember if this is second or third grade. I think this was third grade. When she wanted to get our attention, she would start singing to us. And she would literally sing and just make up the verse, but she would sing what she was trying to tell us. And she was singing with music. And we just thought that was grand. And we just absorbed every word. You know, it is an effective thing, the song. Do you find yourself remembering songs 20, 30 years ago? And you can recall it to the word? I can do that. My kids can do, it's amazing, I can do the old stuff. My kids can do, they can hear something on TV and they can spit it right back at me, you know. Or they can sing something that they've heard last week, last month, last year. And you retain stuff like this, don't you? Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yeah, oh yeah. Still do that. Yeah. I was making 12 apostles for Pat for her class this morning. She wanted pictures of the 12 apostles. And I'm sitting here thinking, Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You know, that's how I remember the 12 apostles, you know. It works. All right. Excuse me, my voice is still not right, y'all, so I apologize for the coughing. We will begin here. I think it's letter B. Is it letter B in y'all's book? Okay. To teach and admonish one another. That's where we'll take up with next week.